It depends on where you're living. It can be raining in the southern part of the county and fairly clear in the northern part of the county. Well, we're going to bring you a couple spots, and then I'll be back. I'm Pat Smits, and program today, It's the Law. I'm hoping to have a guest, but I know he may get here later or may actually have to get him in here next week. So in any event, let's hear my least favorite spot because I don't want to be reminded every week of dieting. And, of course, later I'm sure that I'll have a spot for my one of my favorites, of course, is Pambies and the ice cream. So I guess DJs are not supposed to be biased, but frankly I am.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, program It's the Law. So let's start out. I'm hoping to have a guest, but let's start out with some local legal news. And this will not be a happy result for Bridgewater Township. However, I'm sure that the employees are going to be pleased. And what is it? It's a labor law case. Actually, there were two cases. One was in the matter of the County of Atlantic, and the other in the matter of Township of Bridgewater. And this was Superior Court. The Supreme Court. And in the cases, and they were decided together by our Supreme Court, and the question was the governing contract language of the respective agreements. And let's just talk about Bridgewater. So the governing contract language of their agreement required that the salary step increases remain in place after the expiration of the contract and until the parties reach agreement on a new contract. And so what the Supreme Court found is that Bridgewater Township committed an unfair labor practice when it altered the terms of the contract. In other words, they altered the terms before there was a new contract negotiated. So that may have some significant impact on employees, and I'm sure that they were looking at this with anticipation. And what it means is that the salary steps are going to remain in place until there is a new agreement. And that's what they're going to have to do. So that was approved for publication. It means that all of the governing bodies and townships are going to be looking at them very carefully. And so are the unions who are negotiating new contracts. So that the and I can't really pronounce this, I think it's Dashi, Sanko, and Forest Laboratories have agreed to a $300 million settlement of multi-district litigation. And this is by users of the hypertension drug Benicar. So if you know anyone who has been using that drug, at least notify them of that. And this was apparently linked to cases of severe diarrhea, and that's what they settled for the $300 million because the drug was linked to severe diarrhea to those who used the drug. So it must have been fairly severe. And now the Chipotle Mexican Grill did announce that there was a lawsuit filed against the company in New Jersey, and the court order that halted contentious Obama labor rule that made millions of workers eligible for overtime. And apparently the Chipotle now wants lawyers in that suit sanctioned for contempt. And apparently the attorney had what they're claiming is a dismissive attitude towards a court order that halted the contentious litigation, or at least contentiousness of the litigation. So that they're trying to claim and want sanctions. So again, that was a case whether or not their workers were entitled overtime. Now again, political news, of course there's always political news, and will Bridgegate ever go away? I guess not. And the latest is that the scandal continues to haunt Governor Christie's administration. Yesterday, state appeals court ruled that administration officials could face civil penalties for failing to release documents requested by a newspaper group under the state's Open Public Records Act. It's often called OPRA, O-P-R-A. And that was related to the abrupt September 2013 closure of the local access lanes to the George Washington Bridge. And I think you've had to have been under a bridge if you haven't heard about that lawsuit and all of the flack. But apparently there could be more coming from it. There was also another public records case dealing with OPRA, and that's in the matter of New Jersey State Firemen's Association, their obligation to provide relief applications under the Open Public Records Act, under OPRA. This was, again, a Supreme Court decision, and the Supreme Court decided that OPRA, meaning the Open Public Records Act, does not in all instances prohibit a public entity from instituting proceedings under the Declaratory Judgment Act to determine whether records are subject to disclosure. Excuse me. In this case, the Supreme Court found that the relief checks to a certain person by the name, and they use the name Doe, that relief checks to Doe are exempt from disclosure under OPRA and the common law right of access, so that the relief checks to this to Doe, one or more persons, could be Doe, I'm not sure, but they don't have to be disclosed as public records. Then there is another, and this was approved for publication, there was another OPRA case, also approved for publication, and this was the, this was the appellate division case, and in that action, the plaintiff appealed the trial court's denial of an order, and that was an order in aid of litigants' rights, and the denial of the imposition of a civil penalty. And the trial court found that the statute, and that's NJSA 47:1A-11, authorizes only the Government Records Council to impose a penalty. So now the appellate division reversed, holding that the statute, in fact, authorizes the Superior Court and not just the Government Records Council to impose a civil penalty whenever it is determined that there is a knowing and willful violation of OPRA. So that is the important thing, is that it has to be a knowing and willful violation of OPRA, and access to government records has been unreasonably denied under the circumstances. So the courts can look at every circumstance and make a determination. So in this case, the appellate court also reversed the denial of the plaintiff's request, and that the plaintiff in this case was North Jersey Media Group. So they reversed the denial of plaintiff's request for relief under Court Rule 1-10-3 because the affidavit describing the search of records in response to the second set of requests violated the case management order. That was not based on personal knowledge and could not properly support the court's determination that the search was unreasonable. In other words, that the office of the governor got out of that one. But they did deny the relief. So other than, there's certainly other, a lot of other decisions that have been not published, but at this point, those are two OPRA that have been. Now, there's another case that's coming up that's rather interesting, and that's a workman's compensation case. And very often, if possible, someone would perhaps rather sue in New Jersey than in some other states if they have a workman's comp claim. And, of course, this is a very specialized area. It deals with people who are working and injured on the job. But the Supreme Court in New Jersey has agreed to decide whether a division of workers' compensation, and that's, we have the Division of Workers' Compensation here in New Jersey, whether or not they have jurisdiction over a case where a resident of New Jersey who was hurt on an out-of-state job site. Ordinarily, there probably would be no question that he was working out of state. But in this case, he was at home when he accepted the offer of employment. So there was an offer of employment to him in New Jersey. He was a state resident of New Jersey. He worked out of state for the company and was hurt out of state. So the question, obviously, he wants to litigate this in New Jersey, and the employer does not. It's gone through the courts, and now the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case. Doesn't mean they've decided it, but just that they feel that this is a decision that needs to be decided by the Supreme Court. So it's interesting, as General Motors is scheduled later this year to face yet another bellwether trial over allegations it covered up a deadly, the allegations that General Motors covered up a deadly ignition switch flaw. And they can, however, the can take some comfort from its generally successful trial record. However, critics are saying that way of lining up trials does not provide an accurate way of keeping score. So the question, the fact that they, meaning GM, had a victory in New York may not predict the future of the ignition switch litigation. And obviously, serious concerns to people where, you know, they were in fact killed as a result of that ignition switch flaw. Now, there's It's interesting because in New Jersey, the judges have mandatory retirement, so I haven't seen a mandatory retirement case in New Jersey recently. But anyway, a federal judge has okayed a partner's bias suit over big mandatory retirement policies in large firms. And this was an equity partner at Armstrong Teasdale. And he's can continue pressing an age discrimination claim against the firm over its mandatory retirement policy. So this was a judge in St. Louis who ruled this, and it'll be an interesting case to follow as far as whether or not private companies, private law firms, accounting firms, etc., can in fact have a mandatory retirement age. And there are, certain professions that do. I'm not sure what the airline mandatory retirement age is now. I know at one point it was age 60 that pilots had to retire at age 60. Now, that would be different for pilots than for other personnel. For example, attendants, I'm not sure that there was any age. I remember at one time there was a height requirement. You had to be no taller than 5'7". I don't believe you could wear corrective lenses. I don't think you could wear glasses. And there were a number of regulations for flight attendants who at that point, also I think there was either officially a weight requirement or at least unofficially. So the if a criminal defendant in New Jersey is facing a pretrial detention under the new bail system, they do not have an automatic right to confront witnesses at their hearings. Now, this was another Supreme Court decision. So the fact that under this new bail system, and that's why we're getting a number of cases to figure out just exactly how some of these things are going to be interpreted. Now, there's a federal appeals court, and I'm not sure where this was, but a single slur uttered in a workplace may establish a hostile work environment. And so someone may file a claim just if there is one such slur. And so there should be more litigation with respect to racial slurs. And this is a Third Circuit opinion, meaning that this is a circuit that New Jersey is in. So there have been some criminal law publications this week. Another Supreme Court decision. And so that Justice Rebner said he wrote the decision for the court, and the majority opinion is that neither the statute, in other words, the statute's plain language, nor principles of due process require the state to present testimony from live witnesses at every detention hearing. That's what I just had mentioned to you, and that comes down from our Supreme Court. And what they ruled is that the state may proceed by proffer to try to satisfy its burden of proof and show that detention is warranted. So that the state may offer a proffer, meaning they may offer the testimony that they would bring in if required to bring in witnesses. And however, the Supreme Court also cautioned that trial judges retain discretion as to whether or not to require direct testimony when they are dissatisfied with the state's proffer. So in other words, they have discretion to decide if they want to bring in someone to testify. Sounds like a reasonable way to handle that. Then there was another case in the matter of the expungement of the arrest and charge records, and the people are, of course, their initials, so we can't recognize who they are. So this was an appellate division case. And in this case, the court considered whether drug court graduates seeking to expunge their criminal records, and there is a, and I've mentioned this before, whether they must make a public interest showing. In other words, whether there's a public interest showing that requires, because they would have to, there's a public interest showing that is required for expungement of certain third and fourth degree drug expenses. If I said expenses, I mean offenses. Yeah, drugs are expensive, but this is offenses. So the court said that based on the statute's plain language, that's what they always do if they can uphold a statute, and the public interest requirement. So the court vacates orders expunging the three applicants' criminal records and remanded the application of the public interest test in light of another case, which applied that test to the expungement petition under a certain statute. So in other words, they have to take a look and make some kind of a public interest showing. And well, you know, let's hope that most people, because there are regulations about expungement, you know, first offense and certain other things. In fact, I think I should probably have someone come on and talk more about that, since I know very little. It's obviously in the area of criminal law. Well, I'm going to take a brief break here and let you hear from some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back to talk more of what's happening on the legal news.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington, from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Boy, here it is. I'm still getting used to the fact that it's August. In fact, it's still, to me, must be June. And Chris is talking about the expo on November 9th. However, they have to plan ahead. And anybody who has a business should really inquire as to setting up a table at the expo. And it's a good place to see friends, I know we're going to be asking our members to bring a friend, and especially a business friend who might benefit from the chamber. And if anyone is out there listening who's not a chamber member, if you have a business, it really makes sense. It's a, you know, we're a small community, chambers within our small community, but it's amazing how many people belong to the chamber and how much business is exchanged. Because, you know, when you know someone and you know you're going to see them and run into them, you're pretty sure you're going to be able to refer business to them because you know that they're going to do their utmost to make sure they do a great job. Any event, we back to the legal news. We now Bill Wolfson, but this is the question is that Supreme Court case, a very important case, decided by our Supreme Court, said that banks can't just simply revise foreclosure mediation agreements and get away with it. I mean, this is really very important because I think sometimes the banks do, you know, whatever. And we'll be talking more about that case. It's anyone who is concerned about foreclosure and trying to deal with the banks or mortgage company should really talk to an attorney about this case and whether or not it makes any change in what's going to happen or what they're worried is going to happen. So guess what? If you happen to be an attorney, and you don't have to do anything wrong if you're an attorney for a town, just if the members of the municipal council say they lack trust and confidence, that's sufficient cause for you to lose your job. Kind of scary for people who rely on, and many attorneys do rely on that type of work. Well, is your Fourth Amendment rights violated? And so did the Third Circuit, again, as our circuit court here, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, held that the defendant's Fourth Amendment rights were not violated when the magistrate issued an order under the Stored Communications Act compelling AT&T to provide to the government historic cell site location information, and that was the site information, they call that cell site location information, or CSLI, and the person, Goldstein, Mr. Jay Goldstein, had no right to protect that information. So that could be disclosed. And so they found that they did not violate his Fourth Amendment rights when they did, when the magistrate issued an order to disclose it. And when I say to disclose it, the request was to provide the government with historic cell site location information. So that's what CSLI. Historic cell site location information, which obviously was important and would be important in many cases to prosecutors and law enforcement. Now, there was a suit over a child's fatal accident at an amusement park. In this case, the amusement park operator may not seek indemnification from the charter school that organized the trip. In other words, they said just because the school organized the trip doesn't mean that they have to indemnify the park operator. But the court did say they can seek a verdict allocating fault to the school. That was a Supreme Court ruling. So, in other words, there could be more than one person or entity at fault, and that's what the court found. But they did not see where the park operator can seek indemnification, meaning that the school would pay for all of the damages. Now, the one of the things that is so important for people to follow up, and just check with attorneys if you have a question. And remember, New Jersey law is very different and very specific. You know, you don't call your friend's cousin who's an attorney out in Ohio. I mean, most attorneys will, you know, either pick up the phone and talk to you or try to get back to you or give you some information. Much better than to try to go it alone. In any event, I'm not saying this was the litigant's fault. I'm sure it wasn't. This was, again, a Supreme Court case, and where a defendant does not serve a timely notice of claim on a public entity and is not granted leave to file a late notice of claim, then the statute bars that defendant's cross-claim or third-party claim for contributions and common law indemnification against the public entity. So that's, I was trying to understand part of that. So accordingly, in this case, the defendant's third-party contribution and common law indemnification claims against the association were barred. And then on remand, the trial court needed to afford the defendants an opportunity to present evidence that the association was negligent and that the negligence of the association, its negligence, was a proximate cause of the young man's death. Rather complicated. If you have any questions about the case, give me a call and I'll give you all the details about where it was published. So let's give you a few more spots, and I'm hoping Bill will make it in, but it doesn't look like it. But let's play some spots, and then if he is in, we won't have to interrupt with commercials.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Well, we're back. Program It's the Law, and I guess Bill has been held up longer than he thought he might be, and it was just a possibility of him coming in today, and we'll certainly get him in soon because I think that the case decided by the Supreme Court, GMAC Mortgage LLC versus Tamalyn Willoughby, is an important case, and I do want to report on it. So, you know, maybe talk about another labor law case versus L'Oreal. And I think I may have actually briefly talked about that last week. So I guess we don't need to talk about it again. But what this case shows in other cases, the number of times where cases go up to the appellate division and, in fact, are reversed. One of the problems we have in family law matters is that so often, even if the court reverses, they send it back to the trial court. And it gets so incredibly expensive that people really need to consider whether or not it makes sense to appeal. So why do I say that? Well, not only is there a cost of the filing the appeal, but there is a cost for the transcripts. In other words, anytime someone files an appeal, they have to provide with their certification a copy of the transcript. And the transcript, of course, can be made part of the whole litigation. And in fact, it usually needs to. So that's the issue here. So there is a personal injury civil procedure case that's maybe of some interest, Ben Lazar versus Macrieta Cleaners, and that is a situation where the plaintiff was injured by a third party, but he had no reason to think that another party, especially a public entity, would be responsible. So what happens there is that you apply, the discovery rule applies to actually toll the accrual date that triggers the notice of claim requirement. So what happens when it's a government, allegations are against a government entity, there's a time limit. And the fact is that you need to determine whether or not the accrual date the accrual date itself, whether or not that is an error, and to award summary judgment. And so what the court felt in this case is that it was an error for summary judgment to have been granted to the public entity. And well, Well, we can talk more of this next week. But the public, I guess I should also say this, however, the public entity and the accrual date triggers the notice of claim requirement. However, it is an error for summary judgment to have been granted in this case, especially summary judgment to a public entity. And it was an error Okay. We're going to play a short news break.
USA Radio News with Jules McKinney.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the culture of leaking coming out of the White House must stop.
So today, I have this message for our friends in the intelligence community. The Department of Justice is open for business.
Sessions said leaks are undermining our ability to lead this nation and warned the leaks are incredibly damaging to our intelligence community and puts our troops in even more danger. The Attorney General said four people have already been charged in connection with recent leaks. Today's briefing comes after the release of transcripts of President Trump's phone calls with two foreign leaders. Special Counsel Robert Mueller is using a grand jury in Washington as part of an investigation into potential coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia. The FBI has been reviewing financial records, real estate records, all related to the Trump Organization, and is reportedly reviewing records related to President Trump and family members. This is USA Radio News.
What makes one business rise above? Why do some grow while others simply maintain? Time after time, consistently successful businesses work smart. And when smart businesses need to hire, they do it on the job site that is the proven leader, Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers five times more hires than any other job site. More hires than the rest combined. Businesses that work smart choose partners that have proven track records. It's no wonder that 3 million businesses choose Indeed. To make it even better, right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing in relevant search results and helping you find qualified candidates faster. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site for smart companies like yours. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
We're back. It's the law. You know, sometimes, and I've said this before, unpublished cases are really more important in some cases to read, even though they cannot be cited. They're not precedent. But there are really good published published unpublished cases. No, they're printed out. However, they're not published. They cannot be used. There was a case that I think fits into that. Well, one was a land use and planning case, and of course we have enough problems out in Hunterdon County with land use and planning. But this was Matheses versus Dietrich, and it was appellate division. Now, in this case, respondents filed the underlying complaint alleging that the appellants had violated the terms of a deed restriction by planting trees on the property. So they demanded that the trees be removed and that the area in the easement, that's what they said had to be done. The area in the easement restored to its natural condition so that the trees had been planted, they needed to be removed, and then we had another standard and another they said that trees violate the terms of the deed restriction, therefore the trees have to be removed. Didn't say whether they had to remove them from the property, but that's the implication. So there was testimony because the purpose apparently was that the trees found that the subject trees violated the deed restriction because its purpose was to protect steep slopes from erosion, and the testimony was really uncontroverted that the trees did not prevent erosion. So further, the court found that planting the trees removed the ground cover, so that and there was testimony that the cypress trees, as I said, do not prevent erosion. These were a special type of cypress trees, the Leland cypress. And they also found that the court found in planting trees that removed the ground cover, and as a result, that violated the easement and violated the easement. And on appeal, the court reversed, holding the trial court merely indicated the trees were not common to the area. Did not notify me, of course. But that was important, that reversal, so that the trial testimony was that the trees were not common to the area. But there was no testimony that the trees could not also prevent erosion in compliance with the deed. And there was a deed and a deed restriction there. So he can't do anything. He can't go out and buy property. But, you know, this is what his focus is. And moreover, in the blurb, as far as the accordingly, the definitions did not appear that they were in violation or that she was in violation. So that concludes that portion. And they're, you know, going back to judges, they have to be very, very careful. There was a judge is being accused of interfering in a friend's custody litigation. Obviously, can't do that. And as attorneys, we have a lot of freedoms. I don't think most attorneys, if they thought about it, really would want to be a judge. It's a very restricting life. But in any event, we don't need to worry about that right now. There was, as I said, other employment litigation regarding, against the Lourdes Medical Center in Burlington, Wisconsin. And the petitioner was employed by the respondent as a security guard. And he suffered a work-related injury due to his settlement for permanent benefits. Okay, the employment litigation, another one, Harris versus Lourdes Medical Center in Burlington. And again, the petitioner was employed by the medical center as a security guard, and he suffered a work-related injury to his thumb. He filed a claim for benefits that culminated in the entry of an order approving a settlement for permanency benefits. Now, I guess we shouldn't laugh. It sounds like it wouldn't be that serious since it was a thumb. In any event, the plaintiff was, as I said, awarded 5% of the statutory award for right hand for orthopedic residuals of a sprain of the thumb. And this ordinarily would be, you know, painful and weakness and such. But at the evidentiary hearing, the judge found JCW, the petitioner patient, credible, and ordered that the subject be set in order that, and then further, the compensation judge's findings of fact were supported by substantial credible evidence and were not so wide of the mark as to be manifestly mistaken. This is what people need to understand. The fact that the appellate court might decide something differently does not mean that they're going to overturn the trial judge. And so the whatever the evidence, it was not so wide of the mark as to be manifestly mistaken. In other words, it's not bias, it's a mistake. And whether it's egregious enough to overturn it, we really, we're not sure. We don't know. So I'm going to be back in just a couple minutes. I'm going to play a couple more spots, and then I'll be back to wrap up the program. And then what we'll do is we'll go down for a few more minutes. We'll talk about some of the law issues, and then we will come back with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, we're back. We've only got a couple more minutes. Did want to tell you about another criminal law case. It was State versus Bitzes. It was earlier in July, and it was a decision by the appellate division. And in this criminal jury trial, the judge sua sponte dismissed with prejudice three counts of the indictment as a sanction against the state's fact witnesses' obstreperous behavior. Well, what do we mean by sua sponte? Sua sponte means the judge did it it was his decision. There's neither of the attorneys asked for it, but he just decided that that's how he was going to handle this obstreperous behavior. So the state objected, challenging the judge's authority to do that. And the state said, no, wait a minute, judge, you don't have the authority to take this action. And the judge denied the state's motion to declare a mistrial. So that the judge overruled the state's objection, challenging her authority to take the action, and also denied their motion to declare a mistrial. And after that, the defense counsel acquiesced to the trial court's decisions without comment, probably because the defense attorney thought that they were favorable to his client. But in this case, the court holds the trial judge abused her discretion when she denied the state's motion to declare a mistrial after it became apparent that the witnesses had been irreparably tainted by the defendant's judge presiding over, and what the court found is that a judge presiding over a criminal jury trial cannot enter a judgment of acquittal before the state has completed presenting its case. So the judge can't enter judgment acquittal and before that, and without applying the standards set by the Supreme Court, and there is a case, State versus Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, and that was decided in 1967, and that has to, the court has to follow that. So one more, again, this is an appellate division. No, it's not, it's a superior court. The court, actually, this is a Supreme Court. The New Jersey Supreme Court adopted the federal standard barring unnecessary delays for the purpose of canine sniffs. And they said that officers do not need reasonable suspicion of a drug offense, provided that the canine sniff does not prolong the stop beyond the time required to keep and allow the dogs to do their job. In other words, that's the federal standard. So you can't, you're not providing time. If you don't do it, you're not providing time for the canines to sniff out drugs. And so that, but what was also important about this is that the officers do not need a reasonable suspicion of a drug offense. Now, they don't need that, and that way, although they don't need it, the canine sniff is reasonable as long as it's not beyond the time required to complete the stop's mission. A little bit convoluted, but that basically is now the situation where the federal standard bars unnecessary delays for the purpose of canine sniffs. But what is unreasonable? Well, you don't need reasonable suspicion of a drug offense. So let's go to the news, and when we'll be back with the sports guys. And I guess we'll have Bill Wolfson in talking about the case that came down from the Supreme Court and foreclosure, and we'll have him come in next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. USA